Let it go down.
Yet again, parsha after parsha, describing and discussing the Mishkan. The Torah seems to be, pardon the word, obsessed with the Mishkan. The Torah is obsessed with the Mishkan. You can't stop talking about this Mishkan. Like I told you, there's no other parsha that has anything close, right? And no other theme that is anywhere close, as many prakim and passage after passage after passage about this one thing. I'd like to look at with you today an understanding of this, and present a paradigm. It's not my own presentation. It's the Torah's presentation. It's Hashem's presentation. It's Chazal's presentation. And it is one which is so overpowering. It is one which is so rich with meaning, so relevant, so incredibly significant. It really, what can I say? The shir should change your life. You know, he's saying it sounds like cliche. Oh yeah, the shir. But we're getting very personal today. Okay, and it's something which is right out there in the open for anyone who's looking. But due to our unfortunately, I mean, for better or worse, you know, Yisrael Baishaname, Yisrael Baishaname, due to the Baishanut, that's the best word I could use, to the sensitivity of the Jewish people. So sometimes this is something which is supposed to be understood, but is not spoken of, and therefore misunderstood. And everything I say today is important to understand for Yiddishkeit. But what it also serves as the I don't want to call it the introduction, but an important segue to the next year, which will be given on Thursday, okay? Which is on a very different but very related topic. Very different but very related and very important topic. And you'll understand that topic much better after you understand this topic. So let's begin, right? Everybody knows that, you know, they take polls and, you know, how often does a guy think about sex? You know, what do they say? Once every 6 seconds or something like that? You know, if that's a joke or not a joke. You know, right? But that's what that's what they say, right? And the someone's told me that there's a book. The name of the book is, the title of the book is all the things that all the things that guys are interested in besides sex. Okay, and you open the book, and there's 100 blank pages. I got a kick out of that one. Right? So,
then you went back to the store and said, yeah.
So, this is important. You see, what about the birds and the bees? How did you get born? Did you ever ask your mommy that question? How did you get born, right? You see, sex and intimacy is something which is so taboo. It's not spoken of. It's like, it has to do with people's discomforts. I'm not saying it's bad, I'm not saying it's good. I am saying that it's important that people become aware and understand what that it's about, right? And of course, eventually, you know, people ask me, "Oh, what? How do I tell my? What do I tell my kids?" You know what I'm saying? People with children, they ask me, like, how do I talk to my kids about sexuality? You know, I say, look, it's your decision. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do. But I will say this. I guarantee you this. It's a guarantee. Your child is going to find out somehow, some way, somewhere about sex. It's going to happen, right? We hope, right? I mean, we hope it's going to happen. I mean, he's not going to be 50 years old and like wondering, you know, I wonder why everyone's getting married. You know, like, you understand? You understand? So you have two choices. You have two very simple choices. You can decide to let him know that you can talk to him about that, and that you're someone who he can depend on, or you can decide to let him know by saying nothing that you are too afraid and to talk about sex, and then he will never in his life ever talk to you about sex, you know. And he's going to look, be searching around the street to find some guy to tell him some retarded, sick, disgusting, skewed, terribly misguided version of sexuality. Is that what you want? I think it's your choice, right? Why in the world am I saying that at the beginning of this class? And what does it have to do with Ordo? What does it do with the Mishkan? Well, listen well, my friends. It has everything to do with the Mishkan. And it has everything to do with Judaism. And it has everything to do with Avodas Hashem. Everything. Everything. Because Hashem speaks to us in terms that we as human beings can understand. We as human beings can understand, right? Human terms, human terminology, human imagery. And therefore, right, God engages in what we'd call anthropomorphism, right? Which means God speaks to us in human terms. Okay? I mentioned this in the past, right? This is what basically, you know, this is what comes up in the Mor Nevuchim, in the Rambam's famous Guide to the Perplexed. You know, this is like the topic he talks about the most, right? Because people say, wait, the philosophers were saying, so wait a second, does God have a body? So who is God? He talks to us in, like, as if he's a human being, and he describes himself with human features, you know, his arm and his finger, and he's angry, and he, you know, he loves us, or he's upset at us, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, his nose is red, you know, with anger. Right? What does that mean? Right? And Hashem wants to speak to us in a way that we can understand. Because that, like any good educator, you can only impart knowledge to somebody, right, or an idea to somebody who has the kelim to be able to receive it. You can only work with someone's kelim, right? If you speak English, I could talk to you in English. If you speak Chinese, I can give the best speech ever. You won't understand a thing I said, right? So I can give the best, you know, shir in Ktzois and Esivis and you know, Rav Shimon Shkop, and I could say whatever I want, but you're in first grade learning alphabet. You won't understand a single thing I said. Nothing. So what can I tell you that will make sense to you? Right? I could tell you. You know, I could talk to you on your level. So that's what Hashem does. He talks to us on our level. And what's our level? What do we understand? Right? We understand love. We understand romance. We understand sensuality and sexuality. That's what we do as human beings. That's what we know. Well, we know other things also, but that's a very basic and base and very lofty. It's a very lofty, beautiful idea, right? Love makes the world go round. Everyone's thinking about falling in love, right? Come on, that's what everyone wants. Everyone's thinking about relationships. Everyone's thinking about that. Right? So here's the news, guys. Here's the news. Hashem speaks to us on those terms. And that's critical. That's a critical point of departure, because it's going to help us get a, like I say, create a model, a framework, right? A dimension within which to relate to God. I have spoken in this class, in this classroom, right, over the course of months and years, right, numerous times, referencing the relationship that we have with Hashem. You've heard me. I mean, undoubtedly, you've heard me talk about that. But today, I don't want to talk about it as far as me. I want to look at Chazal. And what I'm about to do is not doing proper justice, and I am not exhausting this subject. There's much more from where this came from. But in the time we have, I'd like to show you what the Torah says. I'd like to show you what Chazal say on the Torah. Now, you might have missed this for a simple reason, right? Because your Ganenet, your Moro, was not about to try to explain this to you. And neither was your 3rd grade Rebbe, and neither was your 8th grade Rebbe, and neither was your 12th grade Rebbe. You understand? Because all of them, for their own reasons, or due to the reasons of the people sitting, immature kids sitting in the classroom, did not know how to express it, were too uncomfortable, themselves to try to describe this and explain it. And therefore, you're missing the boat. And you miss the picture, and that's a shame. It's a shame, because, okay, listen, the kid's 10 years old, you can't talk to him about intimacy. I get it, he's too young to process it. But when he's 20, when he's 30, he's not too young. The poor guy's married. He's still, his stuff, no one stopped to explain to him the construct and the ideas and the fantasies of intimacy. Gosh, is he losing out? But let's say I told you that 18, at 18, okay, you're not looking to get married yet. But you are looking to have a relationship with God. And God talks to you talks to us in a way which is so, gosh, rated R. Rated R. If you can't handle it, leave the room. But I'm not telling this to you because, I'm like, wow, this is fun, let me be inappropriate and talk to you about things that are rated R, just for the fun of it. God forbid. That's not my point. My point is to welcome you into the joys of romance. It's to invite you to enjoy that for yourself. That's the whole point. That's what Hashem says. I didn't make up this model. Hashem made it up. Do you understand that? You understand that? Of course, right now, right? I say, look, hey, the guy's 18. You're going to talk to him about sex? Inappropriate. The guy has no woman. He has no romance. He has no girl. He has no, he doesn't have a mature relationship. What are you going to do? You going to tease him? It's not. What are you doing that for? Right? And you're right. That's why. I won't talk to a kid. I won't talk to anybody. But trust me, the guys get engaged and they're about to get married and they have no idea what's flying and they come to talk to me, or they just get married and they come to talk to me. You know what? I got a whole lot of things to tell them. A lot of things to tell them. And you know what? I have a lot of things to tell you too. Come back to me and the time is right. Happy to tell you whatever I know. But in the meantime, for those who think that, romance, like we referenced here in this class, right, in different places. Oh, a relationship, okay, that's waiting for me. Love, that's waiting for me when I get married. Watch how Hashem flirts with us. I want to show it to you. It's important for you, right, in order to not underestimate what Hashem is bringing to you into this relationship with you. And again, it's anthropomorphic. I get it. But Hashem decided to use those terms. Do you understand? I didn't make it up. Hashem is using that. Chazal is using that. Why? Why? And you're about, what you're about to see is the most non-Haredi, you know, the most non-yeshivish, Hasidic, you know, taboo, inappropriate, get me out of here, I'm uncomfortable, you know, this is not holy in Kedusha. But that's because you're not at your Amaratzim. You don't understand that there's a reason why Kiddushin is called Kiddushin. Why is Kiddushin called Kiddushin? It's the holiest. Yeah, but you understand, come on, Kiddushin. And, you know what you're going to do with a girl? You marry a woman? Come on, that's like just very unholy. No, no, it's to the contrary. It's actually the most holy thing. So that's what I want to run through. And it comes from the Mishkan. That's where you see it. I don't really have the time to show you all the Maror Hamakom inside, but I'll reference them. And we'll see what we can. And like I told you, I'm not exhausting the subject. I'm not. I am inviting you to enjoy your own relationship with your lover. Your lover. Right? A Yid gets married twice. Every Yid gets married twice. Every Yid gets married twice. When? At the wedding to a woman. And at the Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah. They get married. Chassan Bar Mitzvah, right? They get married to God. That's the concept. That's the idea. Right? That's the Jewish idea. Everything I'm saying is just what I know from the Torah. I'm not making these things up. Says Rashi. In our parsha, we find we're going to learn about the Mishkan is put together. Right? How does it work? Parsha is Truma Tetzaveh and Vayaka Pekudeh. Truma describes the actual structure of the Mishkan, and the building and the kelim and the furniture. Tetzaveh instruct. I'm using the word instructs. Hashem is mitzaveh. The kelim, the begadim of the Kohanim. Okay, that's tetzaveh. Vayakel, parsha number 3 out of 4. Vayakel describes that carrying out the Jewish people actually building, you know, how they built the Mishkan, actually fulfilling parsha truma. In other words, Vayakel is the execution of the Tzivoy of Parshas Truma, and Pekudeh is the execution of Parshas Tetzaveh, actually building the, you know, how they made, created the Begadim. So we have a run through in our parsha of the building of the Mishkan and how it was done. So the Torah tells us that we'll talk about it more next time. The Torah tells us about the covering of the Mishkan. The covering of the Mishkan, without going into details, next time we'll go into more details. And I told you, a related but different topic. The Mishkan, the coverings were not just across the top, but they hung, right? They came down over the, right? Instead of this is the Mishkan, so it was covered like a tablecloth, right? It didn't just cover the actual, you know, area, but it goes over, right? It says Rashi, this is already back in Parshas Truma, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Right, the Torah tells us, actually, in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tes, there the Torah tells us, V'kafalta esa yiriya ha'shishes el mul pnei ha'oel. The front of the yiriya hangs down over in front of the Aron Kodesh, in front of the the Mishkan. The Mishkan has a curtain coming down a little bit in front of it. Says Rashi, Kenegar HaPesach, Doma Lekalet Snua HaMuchuse B'Tzif Al Paneh. Okay? This is in order to simulate a kala tsnua. A kala tsnua. A kala which is who's modest, and she's very, very beautiful, and everyone's going to stare at her. So what does she do? She covers her face with a veil. Because what's happening inside right here is it's sizzling hot. Yeah. It's not for other people to be involved with. And like I said, we're gonna talk about it next class on Thursday, but she covers herself like a kala tsnua. Hashem is covering himself kiviyachol, like a kala tsnua. A kala tsnua. Okay. I just told you, Chof of Tess. Yeah, I start writing. Okay, Chof of Tess. So, fine. If you look at Rashi back in Parshas Yisro, in Yutess Yud Zayin, there the Torah tells us, "Vayoytze Moshe Sa'am Likrasa Elokim and Amachane." When Am Yisrael went, and this is before Har Sinai, in the preamble to Har Sinai. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out with the Jewish people, Likras HaElokim. To meet God. To meet God. What does that mean? Moshe goes out to meet God at Mount Sinai? And not just Moshe. Moshe and the Jewish people to meet God, says Rashi. What does it mean, Likrat Elokim? Oh, Magid. Shashchina yatsa likratam kichasan hayotze likras kala. Okay? Fine. Like a chasan goes to meet a kala. Okay? Fine? Like a chasan goes to meet a kala. What does that mean? A chasan, a kala, like they come to people who love each other, they come towards each other. So how does it go? It happens till today. Till today this is the minhag Yisrael. The chasan, well, who's that? Who walks down the aisle first? The chasan. And then he's standing under the chuppah. Then the kala comes towards him, and you will see, if you watch carefully, very often, what would the chassan do? He'll, even though he's been under the chuppah, he walks out of the chuppah towards the kala to kind of like, you know, it's like a guest is coming, you go out of your house to greet them, and then bring them into your house. Right? The chuppah is symbolic of the house of the chassan, and he's going to bring in the kala. Right? So Hashem is coming towards the Shechina, towards Am Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu go out to greet Hashem. That's what Rashi is telling us. In other words, what is happening at Mount Sinai? Mount Sinai is like a chuppah. In fact, right, as Chazal say, right, Hashem took the mountain and he put it over their head, like a chuppah. Right? Like a chuppah. Chazal say like that. It was like a chuppah. Right? So we married God at Mount Sinai. Okay? We married God at Mount Sinai. In case you need a more definitive verse to show you that, a verse which I know for sure I've mentioned here in the past. And the pasuk says, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Morasha ki hilas Yaakov. What does Morasha mean? A heritage, right? What happened? Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. What happened at Mount Sinai when we got the Torah? Morasha, says the Gemara in Brachos, and Daf Nun Zayin, don't read it Morasha, read it Mo'orasa. What is Mo'orasa from the word Erusin? What does Erusin mean? Right? Getting engaged, right? Not just yet, but the beginning of marriage. Getting married, right? Getting married. I would use the word, if you ever seen any people, someone who's engaged, infatuation. I don't know, I can't think of a better word for that than that, right? People who are infatuated with each other, infatuated, just cannot get enough of each other. Cannot get enough of one another. This is what happened at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, Hashem married us. Now we spent time, I'm not going to review it at all, But we spent time learning the Ramban very carefully. That what is the Mishkan? It's simply the continuation of Har Sinai. Right? We spent the whole class on this. Right? It's simply a continuation of Har Sinai. The Mishkan is the place, right, where God reveals Himself to us. Like Har Sinai. The revelation. God revealed Himself to us. Okay? He showed Himself to us. Kind of like a Kala and a Chasan who have Yichud. There's an exposure. It's intimate. Let me read to you the first Rashi. The first Rashi in Shir HaShirim. Okay, and I'd like to explain to you a little bit about what's happening in that book. There's a lot of important literature there. What do we see? Oh, I don't have Rashi here. Oh, I need Rashi for this. Can you get me a... I can't do this without Rashi. So, it's a regular Chumash. So, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says... You don't want to miss this. The Pasuk says... Shira Shirin, right? Shira Shirin Hashem Lishmono. Okay. Yishakeni Minishikas Piu. Thank you very much. Yishakeni Minishikas Piu. This is the story of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. That's what it is. That's what Shira Shirin is. Okay. And as Rashi, the first Rashi in Shira Shirin, which is so fundamental to the Yiddish guy, it says this is Kodesh Kadashim. It says Kodesh Kodesh. This is the most holy of all the books of Tanakh, the Shir HaShirim. And what does it describe? It describes the relationship between God and the Jewish people. The Jew and God. And what's the first thing that the Jewish people say to God? Yishakeni Minashikas Piu. The second pasuk. The first pasuk in Shir HaShirim is Shir HaShirim Mashal Shlomo. Okay, fine. Introduction. Here, Yishakeni Minashikas Piu. It means, I'll translate it, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth because your breasts are more are better than good wine. What does that mean exactly? Says Rashi. What does that mean, Yishakeni Minashikas Piu? Says Rashi. L'fisheyesh mekomas shenoshkim al gavayad v'al akasif. Because there are places that, you know, when you know someone or love someone, you can kiss them in different places. You can kiss them on their hand or on their shoulder. Ach, but, ani, I, right, the Jewish people speaking to God, mit avav shokeket, I desire and long for, lihiyot nohegi mi, kemine garishon, kechasan el kala, pe el pe. I am longing to be kissed the way you used to kiss me, right? Like a chasan and kala. You kiss, what do you mean? It's French me, God. That's what's happening here, right? Kiss me on the mouth. Don't kiss me on my hand. What is this? I'm not your, I'm not your grandma. You know, we have a relationship, but. The ultimate relationship, the most intimate relationship. That is what a relationship between God and the Jewish people is. Anything less than that is not. It's come on. That's not. Where's the romance? And if you understand the psukim and you read Rashi carefully, he's saying, "No, I want another kiss. Kiss me the way you once kissed me." Right? Hashem kissed us on the lips at Mount Sinai. That's what the Pasuk is saying. And Am Yisrael is saying, okay, I want more. Do that again to me. Bring me back to that romance. Right, that level of romance. Continue Chazal. In describing in our Parshios of the Mishkan, the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh, right? The Aron Kodesh has badim, right? The Aron Kodesh is Badin. What does Badin mean? What does Badin mean? What is bad? What's a bad? It's poles that you carry the Aron Kodesh. How do you right? They're built into the right. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen the Aron Kodesh, right? You've seen the picture of it, right? There are two poles. There are two poles, wooden poles, which are right covered in gold, right? What do you call it? Help me. And plated, thank you. Gold plated, and they're on the side of the right, each side of the Aron Kodesh, and they stay there always, says the Pasuk. Fine. Says Rashi on the Chumash. How do those poles, how do they fit? Like, they fit in there, and they're in the, and they stay with them always. But how do they fit into the Aron into the Kodesh Kodashim? Do the math, it doesn't really fit exactly. Says Rashi, it's true. They fit just barely, but they jut out just a little bit. In the front, right? The poles, you have to know how the poles look, but they're skinnier on the inside of the pole. Like I describe it. Like, I don't have a picture of it. They have to go through the hole, right? But then the skinnier, then they get wider, right? And they round off at the end, right? Says Rashi, but they protrude out of the paroches like breasts. The way a woman's breasts protrude out of her shirt, you can't miss that. It's unmistakable. it's calling you. That's the way Hashem made it. Hashem made it that way. Because he wants, that's the point. There should be attraction between men and women, or else men will never get married, right? So just like a woman's breasts are attractive to a man, God takes his luchos, he puts them in the holiest place on earth, and the badim protrude towards the Jewish people like breasts, trying to call our attention. I didn't make this up. Right? This is what Rashi is telling us on the Chumash. Now, but wait a second, I never saw that before. Yeah, okay, because I told you, because the sixth grade Rebbe, like, he himself was like pissing in his pants how he's going to teach that, so he skipped it. Just like half the other stuff in the Torah. Okay, fine. And you know what? Maybe it wasn't appropriate. But now it is appropriate. Why is it appropriate? What am I saying? Let me tell you what I'm saying today. What I'm saying is that God invites us and calls us and teases us and shows us that is the model, the only model, the only model, true model of what it means to have a relationship with God. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo, a sexual, desirous, fantasy, romantic relationship. I didn't create that. God is expressing that to us in terms that we can understand. That means this is what is expected of you. You walk into a shul and you see a guy sitting like this, you know, and schmoozing around. That guy, trust me, he's so lame. The guy is such a loser. The guy is a loser. You understand? That's like the guy who went out with a girl, you know, and they go to watch the, you know, to what, I don't know, whatever they're doing. You know what I'm saying? They go to watch the sitcom, you know, and she's sitting over there and like, hey, you know, Amanda, you want to watch more sitcoms? Yeah, let's watch more. Okay, and they spent the day watching the whatever they're doing, you know. But like, dude, you know, like, come on, you know, come on. How about a little romance here? You know, the guy's clueless. He's totally clueless. It's like, you know, like, you, now there's the point. You see what I'm saying? Fill in the blank. Say it how you want, right? But the point: the guy, he has no game. There's no romance, right? The guy has no. And I see, you know what? It's sad. I see this sometimes in my own, I work with couples. You know, in my own office, like, dude, do you have any idea of what love is? Do you have any idea of what romance is about? Nothing. Totally, like, and you wonder, why is his wife so unsatisfied? You know? if you talk to your wife, it's painful to say this, right? The guy comes home and talks to his wife, or doesn't talk to his wife, just like he comes to shul and talks to his lover, or doesn't talk to his lover. It's the same. There's no relationship. If there's no relationship, there's nothing. There's no love. There's nothing that all these. It's empty and shallow. And how long can a person, and it's just sad, you work with couples, you come across things like this. How long can a woman or a man be in a relationship which is loveless? No excitement, no romance, no flirting, no, there's no relationship. It's just nothing. It's ice cold. There's nothing happening. So what is that? How's it different than anyway? How's it different than bunking with your roommate? And the answer is, it's not. And it doesn't last. And it doesn't last. But that's what I'm saying. That guy's a loser. The guy's a loser. Right? And he's missing out. He's missing out. He's not enjoying it. He's missing out. And you know what? I know plenty of people. And you think I'm pulling the wool of your eyes. I'm telling you, push it. Shot in Yiddishkeit. Maybe no one told it to you. Good. So I'm educating you. Pashut shot in Yiddishkeit. A guy can be from for 50 years. You know, you've heard me challenge you in other contexts in the past. Have you ever said to God, I love you? And like the guy starts to snicker. You know, like a little kid. You know, like someone talking about sex, the first time in 8th grade. Right. And I feel bad for the guy. I feel so bad for the guy. The guy has no idea what he's missing. None. He's not, and of course he doesn't go, why would you like davening? Exactly. Why would you want to go over to a woman, who has the sexual development of a 4-year-old? You want to eat pizza? Okay, let's eat pizza. Okay, you're like, well, wait a second, where's the romance there? Yeah, so a four-year-old girl can't get married. What does she know about romance? Oh, let's play cars. Let's play tracks. Let's draw a picture. Oh, that's nice. Okay, but where's the love? Where's the romance? Where's the intimacy? And you want to know? And you want to know why people go off the derech? And people come to me with their big questions. Oh, my son goes off the derech. He's really going off the derech. I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't know. What does your house look like? What are your values? And it's a very short conversation. And the parents are completely uninspired, have no deep fulfillment, no stimulation, no pleasure in their Yiddishkeit, in their Judaism. No pride, no Jewish identity, no interplay with God, no spiritual connectivity. I mean, what do you expect? What are you thinking? There's nothing there. So of course, your kids are like you. And to bring it back, I'm sorry to say, but I see it all the time. To bring it back to marriage, I sit with a couple, or I sit with someone, he's like, the guy has so no idea how to have a relationship. I was sitting with a client recently. Nebuch, the kid's so troubled. He's so troubled, and he has such a difficult background. And he's learning how to have a relationship with another human being. Forget a woman, a human being, and that human being is me. That's me. I'm sitting in the room with him, and we're discussing and he said to me, "I love you." And I asked him, for him, poor guy, this guy's such a troubled background. It was like a big breakthrough. I said, "Tell me, have you ever said those words? When was the last time you said that?" And he said to me, "I've never said those words before to anyone in my life." Forget God, forget Judaism. Forget God. To anybody. And then you wonder why you can't love people? You wonder why people can't have a relationship? You wonder why you can't have a relationship with another, with a person? Why the kid have trouble getting married? For goodness sake, where are his models? Our parents are our models for our two lovers, both of them. You know, and the guys who are married come to me and say, "Listen, do you hug your wife in front of the children? Do you not hug your wife in front of the children? What's the right thing?" Great question, important question. My answer: it's a tremendous mitzvah to hug your wife in front of the children, not sexually. Simply as a human expression of romance, of love. They think that you love that, you know, with you, you know, you hug your sister or you hug your brother or you hug your children, but you know, mommy? No, what are they? There's no wrong. Oh, it's let's be sneers. Yeah, that means you don't make out in front of other people, and you don't make out in front of your children either. That your children should never have seen love between husband and wife. Where they? How are they going to know? How are they going to understand? Where are they going to get the model from? From TV? But like I always say, it's the same. It's the same. I've said this in different contexts. If you know how to love, you know how to love. It means if you know how to love a woman, you know how to love God. If you know how to love God, you know how to love a woman. Love is love is love. Oh, I'm far from finished. I'm far from finished. We read in last week's parasha. Right? When Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches, in Parashat Kisisa. The pasuk says, "Vayitein el Moshe kachalos el nedaberito." Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Kachaloso. What does that word sound like? Kachaloso, right? Like the word kala. Says Rashi from Chazal, right? And how is it spelled? Here. Shenimsha la Torah b'matana kikala l'chasan. Kikala l'chasan. That's what happened in Har Sinai. Again, going back to Har Sinai. Hashem giving us like a kala to a chasan. And then Rashi continues. And then Rashi continues about this kala theme. But if you look at the Balaturim, he says that that's why there's two, there's actually two luchos. One's keneged chasan, like a chasan and kala, like a chasan and kala. It's standing under, like a chasan and kala, between man and God, right? Hashem and Am Yisrael, the chasan and kala. And that, by the way, is a deeper understanding of what it means, benadam lamakom, benadam lechavero. You see that? If you look at the first difference is we say keneged, for the most part keneged min adam la makom, and the second luchos, right, are keneged, you know what I'm talking about, the second set, right, the second luchos, as it is ben adam la makom.
So
in there's two sides, there's two stones here, right? So the second stone has ben adam la chavero, but almost symbolically, right, kivyachom. So symbolically, the first part has to do with God. Here's what God needs. And the second luach over here, kibiyachal, is here's human needs, here's our needs, right? In other words, you understand, again, kibiyachal, kichaloso, like a chasan and kala, we're different. We are different, and we do have differences, like any chasan and kala have differences. And but they love each other, and they have to learn to be sensitive to one another. To one another. In fact, using this chasan model, the pasuk tells us that Am Yisrael stayed in whereby Har Sinai after Matan Torah. The Torah tells us after Matan Torah, this is already later on in Sefer Bamidbar, Am Yisrael was at Har Sinai, and then they left Har Sinai. The Torah tells us when they left Har Sinai. Okay. And it's a year after they got there. A year after they got there. So, Rabbeinu Bachayai, my Rebbe, says something astounding and so inspiring and so romantic. He says about the pasuk in the famous pasuk, which I hope you know, in Devarim, in Perek Chof Dalet, pasuk Hey, there the Torah tells us v'simaches ishto asher lakach. What's the halacha? If someone is married a woman, he's exempt from having to go to war for a year. Why? Because for a year, naki yelaveso shana echas. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Right? We call it, in, you hear the term today, shana rishona. You ever heard that? Shana rishona. Shana rishona means within a first year of marriage, you have to pay special attention to your wife. Says my Rebbe, the Rabbeinu B'chayei, that is the reason why. That's the reason why Am Yisrael, Hashem kept Am Yisrael at Har Sinai for a year. Har Sinai was over. Matan Torah was over. I'm talking. You know, this is before the Cheta Meraglim. This is before the Cheta Meraglim. So they're supposed to travel. So go already. No, they stayed there for a year. Why they stayed there for a year? Says my Rebbe, Rabbi Nevcha. You know why? He says, what do you mean? When someone loves someone, Chassid Gal get married, they have to have yichud for a year, have to stay together. They can't be distracted by, you know, going elsewhere on the road. They need to be together in the house. So Hashem kept us in the chuppah for a year, says Rabbi Nevi. So beautiful. For a year to get to know us better. To develop and cement our relationship, because that's where's Kala. We married Hashem, and you know what? Take a look. It's a rocky beginning. You need time to adjust, right? In love to one another. Back to our parsha, right? We have the Kruvim. We saw it in Parshas Truma, and again in Parshas Vayakel, the Kruvim, and the Kruvim are you know, of the most eloquent examples of this. And this part, I'm sure you've heard to some degree, okay? And that is, right, the Kruvim were two forms that look like youths, okay? They look like youths, and as Chazal say, they had faces of a boy and a girl, right? Right? You've all heard that? Okay? And you might wonder, I mean, here's a bomb kasha. Take a step back and consider. A bomb kasha. Are you crazy? Is this, are we talking about the Jewish religion? Are we speaking about halacha and Yiddishkeit? Haven't you read the Ten Commandments? The very first thing you need to know about Judaism is Anochi Hashem Elokecha is one God, and Lo Yilecha, there's no other God. What are you doing? Then the Torah tells us a whole list. Do not make pictures of this. Do not make pictures of Losasa Pesel, Tmuna, right? A fish, or things that fly in the sky, or the sun, or the moon, right? Don't make images. What do you do? That's the whole point, right? Jews have not been into, you know, the medieval people were very into art, right? We're not into art. Why not into art? We don't make sculptures. We're not into graven images. That's the big thing. It was an age of idolatry. We don't make sculptures. We don't make pictures and create fashion forms which you can bow down to, because there's only one God. It's in the Ten Commandments. Don't do that. And yet, what do you see here? What do you see in the holiest place on earth? Is a picture of a guy and a girl? And it gets worse, my friends. The guy and girl make out with each other. They make out with each other. As Chazal say, right, that Am Yisrael would come on Yom Tov, and they would lift up the curtains. They would lift up the curtains, right, that protected the Aron Kodesh, so to speak, exposing that inner relationship between God and the Jewish people, and the Kruvim were representative of the Jewish people and God. And they would say, the Kohanim would say, look, everyone, look. Ru'u chibaschem b'fnei hamakom. That's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga. Ru'u chiba eskem l'fnei ha'malkom. Look at the chiba. Guys, you know what this means? In other words, the Kohanim were telling Am Yisrael, every Jew, that means you and you, look how God loves you. Look how God loves you. It's a message to the Jewish people. You, are you receiving this message? Are you receiving this message? That God wants to, so to speak, kiviyachol, right? Expose his nakedness to you? I'm so don't misunderstand it. And say, look, right? Look at the chasam and kal that are making out. Making out, representative of the Jewish people and God. Hugging and embracing. Facing each other. And I want to share with you what my Rebbe, Rabbeinu Bechaya, says. It's so unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. You have to look it up. You have to look it up. In Parshas Truma. I think it's in Truma. Pretty sure it's in Truma. Yeah. Where he says, everybody knows that the Kruvim had faces of young, I'll use the word, children, right? Have you heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Right? Youths. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, what's the point of that? What does that mean? And people think, oh yeah, because they're innocent. Right? Innocent. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, no. That's not the pshat. It doesn't mean children. It means youths. Youth means people who are physically mature, but they're teenagers, they're young, they're your age. What's the point of saying a nar, a young couple? Because you know what a young couple is? They are in, like, pardon the word, they are in heat. They have the hormones are raging. They have insane amounts of desire. And that is what's happening between God and the Jewish people. You won't believe me. I told you wouldn't believe me. Go look it up. To describe the passion, excuse the expression, the lust, the incredibly deep physical desire for intimacy that God so badly wants to be with. Right? Wants to, excuse my expression, I'll talk in your language, right? God wants to hook up with the Jewish people. And the Jew wants to hook up with God. That's all they want. That's what they desire. And God says, look, let's speak openly, right? All I want is to be with you. And all you want is to be with me. That is the truth about the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And this is what I've told you before. I've mentioned this in the past, that a boy who is 5 years old isn't chayav in mitzvahs. There is no mitzvahs. You're not considered. Hashem doesn't. It sounds funny. We do chinuch, the mitzvah chinuch, but Hashem doesn't notice you before you reach puberty. That's the point. Before you can have a sexual, intimate, physical relationship, you can't understand. You can't understand, loving God. Because you don't even know what it means to have intimacy. Right? God doesn't want to have a cheap, cold, uninspired, immature relationship. That's not a relationship. Right? A kid turns 13, he's like, he discovers girls. Like, wow, amazing, I discovered girls. Guess what? A kid turns 13, he reaches puberty, and he discovers girls, he discovers he can have a relationship, he discovers God. That's the point. That's what I told you before. It sounds like you think I'm kidding. I'm not even kidding. The only person who can have a relationship with God is someone who's able to, have a sexual relationship. Because that's the whole point. That's the whole point. You can understand what it means to be infatuated. It means desirous of. Right? As Hashem says, okay, listen, when you're 13, then he notices you. Right? And that's something to keep in mind in the context of this discussion. Now you understand why a Jew says, oh, I'd gladly die for you. Where do you see that? Only in the movies. Only in the movies, right? That's how it goes. You see, you ever see a movie? Hey, tell me. You tell me. The movie. Let the. Excuse me. And please, Zayn Moichel, forgive me for using this example. May God forgive me. But I'm L'shem Shemayim. That's what my Rebbe Bachai is saying. Have you ever seen a love movie with people who are 60? Wait, let me get my cane. Let me get my walker so I can chase after you. You never saw that. Right? How old are they? They're always going to be young. Right? Why is that? Because they have passion. They're 20 years old and their hormones are going haywire. They're going crazy. The guy will jump out of an airplane, you know, to get the girl, you know. Oh yeah, jump, I'll gladly die for you. Yeah, you better believe you will. Because there's infatuation. Infatuation, nothing short of that, nothing less. Endless romance, endless desire. And that's good. That's the way it should be. That's what it means, morasha, means morasa. What does that mean, morasa? Like I told you, engage. It means it's the beginning of marriage. Every night of your marriage, I bless you. I bless you. Every night of your marriage should be like the first night. Morasha ki ilas Yaakov means, how should you be married to God? Not as someone who's been married for 50 years, who's bored. God forbid. It shouldn't be that way. Right? It should be morasha. Morasha. You just gotta, mazel tov. Yeah. Just get engaged. Good. That's the way it should be. Your whole life should be like that. Right? And you know what? Learn from that. Your whole marriage should be like that too. That's the way it's supposed to be. Your marriage should be that way. Then you wanna know how you have a successful marriage? Trust me, I give people this advice all the time. Keep dating your wife. Date your wife. If you marry your wife every day, you'll have a lot of romance. Keep dating her. Listen, we have all the energy is gone from marriage. Listen, what was the last thing you went out for dinner? What was the last time? What did you do when you dated? You know, A, B, C, D. What was the last time you did A, B, C, D? When we dated. Okay, that's the problem. You stop dating your wife. You're making a mistake, right? It's fresh romance, right? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Rashi says in the Chumash, when Hashem says, I'm giving you the Torah, Rashi says, like a letter. You know how you read a love letter? Do I get a love letter? I can count on you. Okay, good. So, you get the love letter. Oh, very nice. Oh, okay, you throw it in the garbage? No way! You put it under your pillow, and the next day you're like, read that again. Oh, dear Yoni, I love you so much. Like, I just got to read that again. 1 second. You read it already, didn't you? No. I got to read it again. Okay, but then you've been reading it the last 3 weeks. Oh, no. I got one more time. That's how it goes. That's it. That's what it should be. That's it. You know what I'm saying? That's what it should be. That's how God speaks to us. Rabbeisai, I'm nearing the end of my shiur. I told you I haven't exhausted the topic. I warned you. I told you, but I would like to open a whole other, otsar, a whole other storehouse of this, of these ideas, which again, we're not going to look at exhaustively by any means, right? But I'll do that in a moment, and then we'll have to call it a day. But before I get there, I want to show you one more source. I want to show you one more source for of this uncontrollable desire. If you turn back to Parshas Yisro, guys, let's go. Check it out. Turn back to Parshas Yisro. In Perek Yutes, come on, open the book. Page 400 in the Stoner. Page 400 in the Stoner. Okay? Come, let's go. Page 400 in the Stoner. B'chodesh ha-shlishi. Letzeis b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai. The Jewish people, right, come to Har Sinai. Right? Is that what the pasuk says? Good. Read the next pasuk. V'yisu merefidim. They left Refidim. V'yavo midbar Sinai. They came to Har Sinai. What's wrong with this pasuk? What's wrong with these psukim? Come on. It's all mixed up. What's going on here? What should the Torah say? right? They left Refidim on such and such a day. The Jewish people left Refidim on such and such a day, and then, right? Bachodesh, right? And then on this day they came to Har Sinai. They left on such and such a day, and then a few days later they came to Har Sinai. That's what it should say, but it doesn't say that. It says they came to Har Sinai, and then, oh, and by the way, they left Refidim. What's going on? It's out of order. It's all mixed up. Doesn't make, it's not coherent. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, something awesome. Something awesome. Listen carefully. Listen to this. He says, you know what's wrong with this pasuk? You know who's talking here? I couldn't say such a thing myself. These are the words of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. You know who's talking here? A being, a man, kibiyachol, who is out of his mind with love. He's lovesick. He cannot... He's incoherent. The guy's incoherent. He's not. His words are not making sense. The guy is so drunk with love, he can't get. Oh, you ever meet someone who has like amazing news? I've never told you. I've never told you. Like, well, slow down. Start again. I couldn't hear. I've never. Like, he's incoherent. God is incoherent. God, as I didn't say this, the Or HaChaim is saying, Hashem was waiting from Sheshes and Abreshes, Kibiyachol, to marry the Jewish people, to get the Jewish people to Har Sinai, to give us the Luchos and Har Sinai. Where does this happen? What's happening here at Perikot Tes? That's it! They're falling out to Har Sinai! Here it is, the first place! Mount Sinai! Here's where they get to Mount Sinai! God says, oh, we get to Mount Sinai! And he mixes himself up. He's so out of control, buzzed, and infatuated, that they're here! Okay, I forgot to tell us that we left. And then he goes back, oh, by the way, they left their feet. But there's more. There's more. Look, continue with the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim says, wait a second. There's more. Wait a second. How do you understand that Am Yisrael, are coming to Har Sinai where? Coming to Har Sinai where? Or when, excuse me? Bachodesh HaShalishi. What's Chodesh HaShlishi? Come on. Rosh Chodesh? Sivan. When did they leave Mitzrayim? There's Mitzrayim in Nisan. Wait a second. Where were they from Nisan until Sivan? Where have they been? Where have they been? Hashem wants to give them the Torah. So give them the Torah. No. What's the answer? If you've ever done what's it called, right? Sfiras HaOmer, you know that they weren't ready for the Torah. They needed to prepare for Kabbalah HaTorah. Fine, we understand it. They Am Yisrael needed time. Fine, but says the Or HaChaim, okay, so take them out of Mitzrayim, bring them to Har Sinai, and you'll wait there, and then when they're ready, you'll give them the Torah. How come Hashem didn't take them to Har Sinai right away? His answer is astounding. His answer is so full of love. Listen to this. You know what the pshat is? I could never say this on my... Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Hashem kiviyachol was not able to bring the Jewish people to Har Sinai without sleeping with them. It's like, listen, what does your Rebbe tell you, you know? What do your parents say? Listen, you're going out with a pretty girl, you're getting engaged, you know what? You want to save it for the first night. don't take a hotel room, you know, like the night you get engaged and stay over with her. Come on, what are you doing? You're not going to be able to control yourself, right? Right? That's why, Chazal said, don't have yichud with a girl. Kiviyachol Hashem says, I can't have yichud with the Jewish people. I'm just going to, I can't hold back the Torah from them. I cannot sleep with them. I am so attracted. I'm so aroused by the Jewish people. How am I not going to? What am I going to? What are you going to do? Am I going to bring them there? What am I going to do then? I can't. You know about Hasidim? I forget the Hasidim. That's not a good example. But by a lot of people in some of the very fun communities, they get. You can't bring any rice to Hasidim. Some of the stuff they do is nuts. But yeah. But it's okay. But yeah, it's okay. Let them hear. It's the truth. It's the truth. And trust me, and I pick up the pieces in my work. Trust me, it's okay. But some of the very religious people, right, communities, it's very mukubal, right? People get engaged, and then they send off the chasen, right? They get engaged, they say, here, you're going to, wherever you are, you're in Israel, you're going to Lakewood for 3 months till the wedding, or you're in Lakewood, you're going to Israel for 3 months. To keep the distance, they can't, you know, well, I understand that, I get it, you know, okay? Look, they can't, too much proximity, too close, they're in love. We're afraid, we want them to, you know, not to lose control of their physical desires, like we're saying, they're like Na'arim, Chasson, the Kaskala, fine, I get it. So that's what Hashem does, that's what Hashem does. Hashem says, okay, look, I can't. If I take them there and bring them to Sinai, I can't not be with them. So Hashem, He keeps us away. It's just such an unbelievable imagery. Such an unbelievable, but you see where I'm going, you see what I'm showing you, you see what I'm showing you. Rabbeisai, the book which really develops this and shows this to us is Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, if you look in the Art Scroll translation, okay, is so rated R, it is not translated. You know, if you don't know better, you read the English translation, you're like, oh, that's interesting, and I wonder how this means that. And if you're not educated, you have no idea that the English and the Hebrew have no relation to each other. Nothing at all, you understand? This is, they translate it allegorically. And Rashi is explaining. Fine, I'm not anti-Chazal. Guys, stick with me here. I understand what Rashi is doing. I understand it, right? I get it. And, you know, Art Scroll and all their they want to be careful, right? And they want to be sensitive. So at the point, they're not going to write the translation of the actual translation, because the actual translation, they will tell you, as they write in their introduction, the actual translation is not the real translation, so we don't want to mislead you. So therefore, we're going to write the allegoric translation. Okay, I get it. I'm not fine. That doesn't bother me. But what does bother me is that people can go their whole lives without knowing what was really happening. I'm not saying that the actual translation is what the verse, what the message really is. You understand? Listen very carefully, because it's very delicate and it's very sensitive about what we're discussing right now. Right? It's the most rated R book in the Chumash by far, in the Bible. Right? So I understand. Listen again. You'll say, no, the actual translation, it's not a message about, it's not a romance novel. Right? It's not just about, excuse the word, what is it, Proust, you know, or just about it's a nudity scene, you know, it's just trying to sell books, you know. What is that? That's not what it is. It's much deeper meaning. Fine, I accept it. But God Himself is the one who is expressing, and is the Ruach HaKodesh, which is God given to Shlomo HaMelech, who is writing this. And Shlomo HaMelech wrote it and put it down. For what? For what? Tell me, for what? To never be looked at, you just read the English? That's wrong. Okay, you have to be over 18 to read it. Okay, just to say, you know, here, you have to be over 18 to read this book. Don't worry, no, over any age, no one reads Tanakh anyway. They're never going to get it. Right? Sad, pretty sad. But the point is, what's the point? The point is that the quotations that, you know, that you look at, if you read the Hebrew, are unbelievably graphic. Sexual, have sexual content. Why? Why? Right? You read this book, you say, oh my gosh, this is not Haredi. This is not very from. This is not very... Okay, so the question goes back to you. So why did God say that? The answer is only... It's, to my mind, there's only one answer. And it's such a mitzvah to understand this. Is that God is saying He has the hots for you. God is saying He has a crush on you, on your body, you understand? And we have a crush, kibiyachal, on God's body. On God's body. And I'm not going to read to you all these sources here. I'm not going to you. But just like the first Rashi is rated R, it only goes, you know, I just had a quick glance just before the class. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, at least 14 rated R, I mean, talking about how beautiful your breasts are, how beautiful your thighs are, how beautiful, you know, how much I desire your embrace. Can you imagine a rabbi getting up and talking that way? Can you imagine someone actually translating Shir Hashirim in front of everyone? Like, people would be squirming. You're like, oh, get me out of here. Someone once told me, this is so funny, someone once told me that they saw a debate. This is a manipulating move. But there was a debate, it was a long time ago, a debate between a Catholic priest and some, you know, liberal, open-minded guy, right, about pornography, or about something like that. I don't know exactly. Something, you know, explicit, sexually explicit stuff. So, of course, the Catholic, you know, the priest is like, this is wrong, how can you expose it, da-da-da, right? So the guy says, okay, let me just read to you something, and you tell me if this is okay. Right? Sharp guy, right? See, so of course the pastor, what does he know, right? He takes out, he has a quotation, and he starts reading quotation. He goes, your breasts are like this, and they remind me of this, and they look like this, and the way you're, whatever, I'm not going to say, whatever, your hips, and your this, and then this part of your body, and that part of your body, and I have such, and what our bed looks like, and our bedroom looks like, and, you know, and just want to hug you, and that, whatever. And the guy's like, no, and many times, he used the word, you know, description of breasts, and Shir Hashirim. And the pastor's like, you know, the priest is like, no. And the guy says, we're just reading from the Bible. You know, it's like, like checkmate. You know? And you know what? According to, there's a problem. He got him, right? Okay, so what does the pastor know? What does he know? Whatever. But of course we have a deeper understanding. And of course there is depth. And of course Rashi tells you. And of course you have to read Rashi. Fine, I read Rashi. But what's the message? Why is God doing this? Why is he writing this? So it should be hidden for you forever? Wrong. So you should know what exactly God has in mind for the way our relationship is supposed to work. It's supposed to look. When you talk to God, what are you saying under your talus? You know, when I was young, not young, when I was young, I didn't know anything. But from the time I was at, you know, I was 16, All I wanted was to get a talus. You know, because like, you know, after, when I was, you know, 15, 16, I was like really davening already. And it was private. I couldn't stand it, especially on Rosh Hashanah. I was like, I had such, you know, I had my own very deep feelings of what I wanted to say to Hashem. I couldn't stand it. Like, I wanted to like pretend I would just get a talus. I'm not going to put on a talus just for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You know, it's weird. But that's what I was waiting for years for that day. Because I needed privacy. And that's beautiful. That should be that way. That's the point. What, you don't make out in front of someone else? You're right. But you do make out. When not in front of someone else. That's the point. But that's exactly my point. When the doors are closed in your own, you know, after your own wedding, of course, what are you not going to make out? That's your whole life you're waiting to make out. So that's the whole point. What's it supposed to look like under the talus? What's it supposed to look like? What's it supposed to look like when you're up against the kotel? Now, it's none of my business. I don't know. I've never been in your bedroom. I've never been under your covers. I've never been in your house. I've never been under your talus. I've never been in, you know, between you and your machzor. Nothing. That's right. I don't know anything. All I do is do the chesed like I do with my children. I could share with you and explain to you what the proper mile is, what Hashem wants from you. Do you have a girlfriend who's writing you love letters and who's waiting for you to pick up the phone? Do you understand? That is what Yiddishkeit is. That. And you wonder, oh, wait a second, Yiddishkeit, what love? Why are you talking about sensuality and sexuality? What are you talking about? That's inappropriate. Inappropriate. It's in the Kodesh Kadashim. It's in the Kodesh. That's what God does. He puts guy and girl in the Kodesh Kadashim. He says, look, this is me and you. Now you understand what I say? What I refer to. Now this time we just did it in a more fuller version. You understand what I say when I've said many times in the past, you've heard me say, oh, Judaism is about a relationship. Right? You guys make fun of me. Oh, what are you talking about today? Relationship. Right? You make fun of me already. Right? That's true. What else is there? It's either a relationship with God, right? That's what the whole Torah called, Torah Kula. Or a relationship with human beings around you. That's also called a Torah Kula.
It's either Benam Lechaver or Benam Lamakam. There's only two loves in the Torah. The Ahavta Hashem Elokecha and the Ahavta Lechakamah. What else is there? But they're both equal, that they're love. Every shir should be about relationships. That's what it is. That's what Torah is. The whole Torah is about relationships. And people can miss on both counts. You can miss, you go the whole life long completely missing the boat. Completely. And that's a shame. That's so sad. It's so sad. And you know what? It's not going to last. I don't want to be in a relationship like that, where I have no relationship. I'm stuck in this thing where there's no relationship. I just have, do this. There's no love. There's no romance. There's no infatuation. There's no intimacy. There's no involvement. There's nothing. Of course, get me out of here. I'll be the first guy out the door. And do you think I blame those kids who go off the derech? I also go off the derech. It's torture. You can imagine you'd be just, eat this, don't eat that. Like, what? Could you imagine? Just imagine such a thing. I can't imagine it. And that's the answer to our question. Why that? What would he ask before? Why is it that the Hashem endlessly is talking about the Mishkan? And so much keeps on coming back to that. It keeps on talking about it. Gets so much space in the Torah more than anything else. What's the answer? Because, excuse me if it's saying it in this graphic way, but what does a healthy guy think about all the time? He keeps on getting, he can't get enough of it. He can't get enough of sex. He can't get enough of fantasy. He can't get enough of desire. He can't get enough of it. That's what he's talking about. That's just, okay, I got it. You already gave me a parsha on that. Oh, by the way, that's all he wants to talk about. Again, I'm talking about more. Why? Because that's the point. Because when someone is so passionate about something, so he's crazy about the Jewish people, right? We use that expression. He's crazy about the Jewish people. That's what he is. He can't get enough. We're talking about his, and that's what the pasuk in Shir HaShirim actually talks about, right? Arsenu ra'anana, our cradle, our crib, our double bed, our, what do you want to call it, our love bed, right? That's the Mishkan. That's what the Mishkan is. The Hashem keeps on talking about it in order to show how he can't get enough of his, you know, of his expressing it and fulfilling his desire for the Jewish people. The Mishkan is our bedroom. The Mishkan is the bedroom between God and the Jewish people. And that's why he keeps on talking about it. Rabbi, I bless you and bless me back. I bless you and bless me back. With love and laughter and longing and deep, intimate interplay and connectivity and a beautiful, stimulating, enriching, fulfilling relationship with all the loves, all the Yiddish loves that we learned about in the Torah. Please God, between us, how much Hashem loves us and how much we love Hashem. We say, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. What do we say right before V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha? What do we say? What are the last words before we announce three times a day? What do we say? Rechad Hashem, Ohev, Ohev is Am Yisrael. That's the point. Hashem loves the, it's a relationship. Hashem loves us. We love Hashem. Every single day we say that. And sometimes I ask people, they have no idea. They don't even know what they're saying. They read the prayer book. It's like it's just so, it breaks my heart. Every day they're reading the Siddur, they have no idea what's written there. They had no idea that they were supposed to just say what they were just saying was supposed to be an expression of deep intimacy. I would die for you. That's how much I love you. That's what we say. We just said it. People are totally clueless. No idea. What love? What love? I don't love. Love God. Actually, I don't love God. Like, dude, what the heck have you been doing for the last 18 years? Do you say this? Oh, yeah, sure. Three times a day. So what are you doing? What are you doing? My goodness. It's just totally empty. Empty. How long can such a relationship last? I bless you. To be margish, Baruch Hashem, Abaychei Be'am Yisrael, to feel the love of the Rabbanu Shem, and to have the deep pleasure of experiencing that love, and the deep pleasure of returning and responding and expressing that love
back. And I hope it's a great relationship for all of you. Thanks for listening.